Well, good morning and welcome to The Burning Platform, the first one of May 2024. This is the month of the elections. We're saving the heavy hitters for the most proximal to the election. And Pumi Mashego is here with me this morning. We're also joined by Lesego Makubela, who is a spokesperson for the ANC this morning. Lesego, we were really hoping to have Panyaza Lesufi, so I don't take it as an insult, but we were like, oh, okay, well, we'll settle for this Lesego. But, you know, like we've had every other party leader, and it just feels like, oh, well, the ANC is like, oh, we'll send our spokesperson.
Yeah, so we have to start by us.
We have to.
Oh God, I'm trying to mute it because I do want to see what the comments have to say, but I don't think I can.
You've got to mute it.
It's gone now. It's gone now. So we have to start by asking you, what are you authorized to talk to us about?
No, thank you very much. And then thank you very much for the warm welcome.
Sure.
There was no coffee.
I'm sorry.
It was just water here.
It's like Lituli House.
Yeah.
You're lucky we've got electricity.
Ungodly hours. No, we've won the electricity battle.
Have we won?
We've won it. We've told you we'll win it. You've not had load shedding. I don't know in how many.
But my worry is,
my worry is that we like might have it on the 1st of May.
On the 1st of June. 1st of June, the lights will go out and they won't come back on.
We are trained differently in the ANC. We own up to the challenges that this country face, and we're able to explain what are the challenges. And when we put Minister Kosientsu Ramukopa, one of the outstanding cadres of the ANC, an engineer by profession, a doctor, he gave regular updates. And he says we have to refurbish, maintain these power stations. We have to take some of the units out. It will be temporary pain, but it will be long-time gain for the country. And now the units are coming back. We've brought back over 8 units back into the grid. They are contributing over 2,000 megawatts onto the grid. And that's why the stability and this energy area reliability.
Why did it take so long to deploy him if he's this outstanding cadre? Why since 2008? Why has it taken this long?
Because we had put a CEO there who was writing a book instead of fixing Eskom, who was decommissioning the power station, the units of the power stations, who was decommissioning units who failed dramatically. And there were many sections within the ANC that said this guy was a CEO of NAMPEC. NAMPEC is gone. It's no longer there.
But he wasn't there since 2008.
Who?
2009, 2010.
I just wish your show will maybe one day just play what President Mbeki was speaking about. And for the first time.
We were actually there. We spoke about that.
We can maybe start there because I don't want us to turn us into.
Actually, I thought you invited me for provincial issues, but I have an appetite to talk about everything.
No, good.
It's about everything, the national election.
So I was on my way out of Freedom Park on Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah.
And a guy in ANC paraphernalia came past me and said, are you voting ANC? And, you know, I looked at him and I said, that ANC, maybe. And he went, he agreed with me. And I thought, you know what? This is the problem, right? And I want to give you a fair shake at this because we've given every other leader a chance to first tell us about their priorities, what their manifesto says. And I think it's only right that the ANC get a chance to do that too, without us interrupting, without us throwing all the usual stuff at you. Because you didn't come here today to have to fight. Yeah. You came here today to get a chance, like all the other parties, to say your say.
I was told I'm going to the lion's den. It seems like she has succeeded in taming the lion.
You know what? No,
I'm not.
First of all, Pumi's more dangerous than I am. So, Lesego, first of all, Pumi's more dangerous than I am. Second of all, we don't want politicians to come here and be torn to pieces. We've given everybody, and ask any of the others, a fair chance. And we want to do the same for you. The ANC just happens to have a whole lot more to explain than the other parties because you've been in government.
Yeah.
Incumbency.
Let's start at the very beginning.
Yeah.
We're going into an election. Everybody says the ANC are not going to achieve their 50%. And I'm sure you're going to tell me, we don't believe so. We think we're fine. We're on track to get our 50 plus some. So let's start with that. Is that an absolute goal here? Are you confident that you can do well in this election, or are you going along with what all these other parties are saying, that they're going to eat your breakfast for you. MK, EFF, DA, they all say they're going to steal the votes from you.
That's nothing new. It happened even in 2019 elections. After the 2016 local government elections, there were coalition governments in Johannesburg, in the city of Tshwane. There was a coalition government in Nelson Mandela Bay and some of the municipalities that used to be run by the ANC. And I think most parties started believing that we can go at it. And they believed that they can arrive in 2019 and be able to snatch the running of this country from the ANC. It never happened. The ANC was restored to power by an overwhelming majority of our people in this country. It received 11 million votes. That's a lot. And went on to even win Gauteng. It's not new. It happens every election. When Mandela was standing as president on behalf of the African National Congress in 1994, there was a party which was formed just shortly before election, no different from this Zuma party, which was based on Zulu nationalism, which was based on actually ensuring that it entrenches the tribalism of the past. The IFP, it was formed, and people believed that it could cause an upset.
Sorry, I think I'm getting my history wrong.
You said no interruption.
This is a clarity point. You're saying the IFP was formed just before the elections.
It was formed just shortly before the elections. Yeah. Literally a month before elections.
Okay.
If you go back to your history, there was a lot of surge of violence, especially in the townships in Gauteng where there were hostels. A lot of people were dying in KwaZulu-Natal, and many of the negotiations were interrupted by Mr. Mangosuthu Buthelezi until finally he announced that IFP will enter the election. The IEC had to now start all over, recreate the ballot and everything. They were given an opportunity to be represented and to stand for election. That's what happened. So a lot of things that are playing themselves out, they are not new. In fact, there's nothing that threatens us about parties being formed. It's what we fought for. We fought for a representative democracy. We fought for a multiplicity of parties. We fought for people having a right to be able to speak and to choose a government of their making. And this is what we believed. That is at the core of the ANC. And that's why every election, when people are saying that we are going to win these elections, we are not at all faith. It's like Kaiser Chiefs saying it will win the league next year. You know, we know it can't.
So, you know, because I don't want the people that are listening who've listened to this show for a very long time to be misled by a confidently speaking you saying that the IFP was formed shortly before the 1994 elections. The IFP was actually formed in 1975.
Actually, let me.
It was formed in 1975, and this is why Chief Mangosuthu Buthelezi was able to be, even during apartheid, in KwaZulu, in Parliament in KwaZulu. So, and that's fine. You don't have to. You don't have to, because I have a grandfather who was part of this party, couldn't have been formed in 1994.
I have to help you. But don't. Ingata was the I have to help you.
No, I don't need the help. I would like to give you the opportunity.
On Wikipedia, you can make such.
I would
such,
like
such mistakes. Let me help you.
I
need to help you. Ingata.
No. Listen, Ingata, you can talk about Ingata or you can talk about the ANC. Which would you like to do?
Everything.
But what we would like to talk about.
Not so misinformation.
What we would like to talk about is about the ANC
misinforming your listeners,
going into
which is not correct.
It's not misinformation.
Yeah, it is. I'm saying to you, Ingata was... Ingata was formed by the then president of the ANC, Oliver Tambo. Mangosuthu Buthelezi was a member of the African National Congress. He was a member of the ANC Youth League. Ingata was formed for a particular reason. And that's why 1994. That's why one of the outstanding writers, Mzala Mncumalo, who has published a lot of books, published a book warning the ANC after observing what Mangosuthu Buthelezi was doing. He wrote a book called The Chief with the Double Agenda. And why I'm saying this, there are similarities between MK and IFP is that MK, the Umkhonto weSizwe, one day, maybe someone bright doing the desktop research will say, no, MK was formed by Jacob Zuma in 2024. They can say that because of desktop research. MK was not formed by Jacob Zuma. It was formed by Nelson Mandela and the ANC, Mandela being the first commander-in-chief.
We still have a couple of court cases on the go, right?
And that's why... Inkatha, the brainchild of the ANC through Oliver Tambo, its role, it had a particular role that the ANC gave it. Then Buthelezi turned it into a political party. It was not supposed to be the political
party. That's interesting that in your mind, there's a parallel between these two. That this word has been
very much the same.
Usurped, you say.
Zuma realized there's a vacuum in KZN, because in KZN is the chief, and it was the prince, which was Buthelezi. When Buthelezi died, all of us could predict that Zuma is going to cook up something. We knew that. And that's why there's no difference between IFP and MK. It's born on tribalism.
So you believe that the ANC has left a vacuum in KZN, which is what has allowed the MK?
I'm saying the vacuum of tribalism. We don't believe in tribalism. That's why we came to the show of Gareth. Because, this show that we're in, we are not going to not come. Because we believe in ensuring that we speak to everybody. We don't believe in tribalism. In the African National Congress, you find everyone. For instance, I'm Tsonga. I'm Tsonga. No, what many call Shangans. You find all the tribes. The president of the ANC is from a minority tribe. The vendors in this country, and so forth. So we don't believe in that. The ANC was formed against tribalism and against racialism. So you will see, hence I'm saying the MK party and IFP are the same, both homophobic and both tribal. Things that we stand against, things that should not be embraced after 30 years of our democracy. Jacob Zuma and Mangosuthu Buthelezi are the same, as Mzala Nxumalo described Mangosuthu Buthelezi as a chief with double agenda. Unfortunately, the leadership of the ANC at the time did not listen. The leader at Oliver Tambo did not listen that this fella is using this Inkatha formed by the African National Congress to actually elevate himself, and he did that.
So can I ask you then, because this election is slightly different in a number of respects, but one of those is that it is not just about those parties which are splinters of the ANC. I mean, we know that pretty much the story since 94 has been there's the DA, and then there are a bunch of these ANC breakaways. You know, whether it was Mosiwa Lekota and Mbazi Mashiloa in the beginning, whether it was Julius Malema who was cast out of the ANC Youth League, whether it's now MK. And all of these parties, people say, are just the children of the ANC who are desperate to be welcomed back home. Now, the ANC has been, I think, quite clever in one respect as opposed to the other parties, in that you guys have not closed the door to any coalitions. And famously here in Gauteng, you've made coalitions in order to get back into government. Premier Phanyaza Lesufi has made a lot of noise in public, some of it good, some of it bad, about the ANC being open to ideas, open to other parties. Is that still your position? Because I think it's a sensible position. All these guys who say, well, we won't work with them. It's like you're not being practical.
There are two questions in the statement you made. The first one is on the breakaway party. Mm. The first party to break away from the African National Congress is what is called the PAC.
Yeah.
Now it's a dead organization. It's an organization of ghosts. Its leader was Robert Sobukwe, the former Secretary General of the Youth League, and an outstanding African.
Absolutely.
His differences with the leadership of the ANC was that whites can't join the ANC. And he drove people out of the ANC because of that. Said, you can't have whites in the ANC. In Gauteng at the time, when the PAC was formed, there was a person who believed in reverse racism. I even used to call Malema that when he was still in the youth league. I used to call him Potlagolebelo, who was here in the Transvaal in Gauteng. Quite a divisive fella who also believed you can't have white people in the African National Congress. So Robert Sobukwe left and they formed the PAC, which believed that we must drive the white people to the sea after attaining freedom. And then we must take them, all of them, Gareth Cliff, his relatives, and everybody else. And the ANC believed that South Africa belongs to all who live in it, both black and white. And that's why Mandela at the dock said that, I have fought against white domination, but I have also fought against black domination, because we don't believe in reverse racism. And that's the first exodus, so to speak, of the ANC. And the rest is just people who just wanted to use politics for their survival. Musua Lukota from COPE with Mbazi Matshelua. Guess what? This history keeps on repeating itself.
Uh-huh.
The founders of the same party called COPE, where are they? They fought literally a few months after forming COPE. They were at loggerheads, they were at courts until Musua won the party, and Mbazi Mashelua was driven out. Did you see the person who registered the MK party?
Mm-hmm.
Zuma has expelled him.
Oh, yes,
just
yes.
Just like
yes.
Musua Lukua has done the same.
Right.
With Mbazi Mashelua, no difference. The less said about Julius, the better. Because when Julius left, and I'm happy you are saying he was expelled with his suitcase, Floyd Shibambo, because he carries him everywhere he goes. Right. Because he represented everything which was repugnant about the ANC. And people forget, and South Africans never hold this man to account for all the many statements he makes. He never comes back and accounts for them. He introduced crass materialism in the ANC, wearing bridling watches, wearing shining shoes, wearing Gucci's, driving expensive cars, living in mansions, and speaking in tones and languages that were disrespectful. These were not languages of the ANC. Until the ANC could see that there's a problem in the behavior.
Seko, these are fighting words, and the EFF are on the agenda for next time. But
yeah, they can come and defend themselves.
Sure, but the second part of my question, and listen, the audience is going to love that you brought some vim and vigor.
Yeah.
But the second part of my question about coalitions, because when you talk like this about MK or the EFF, that's not what the mother, the ANC is saying. The ANC is saying, we'll make friends with whoever we need to make friends with to govern.
The ANC will win this country overwhelmingly.
So you won't need
coalitions. What does that mean? What does overwhelmingly mean? What kind of percentages are you thinking about?
So in terms of the law, you need 50 plus one to govern the country. We will get more than that.
No, I'm asking you a different question.
Yeah.
My question is, and everybody that sat in this chair, we've asked a similar question.
Yeah.
What are the percentages? What is your overwhelming percentage that you are hoping to come out of this election?
It's more than 55%.
More than 55%.
Well, way more than 55%. Yeah, and that's what we get. Not what News 24 says. News 24 research, not what the what was exposed now in the courts, that the DA tweaked the research polls, which were suggesting that the ANC will be under 40. No one speaks about it. Because it doesn't speak about the ANC going out of power. But certainly there won't be any coalition at national level.
Okay.
Our people have learned. Our people have learned what happens with this fruit salad of parties given an entity given an entity called government to run. You can look at what is happening in Johannesburg. Certainly we have regressed terribly. We had a mayor who went to Nigerian scammers in Hillbrow. And went to borrow 40 billion. And they said, no, but give us 60 billion of the city, we'll give you 40 billion, and then we'll also fundraise another 40 billion. And he nearly did that mayor, Right. We have somebody that even when you look at him on TV, my own mother who's 82 years old says, this man is high. That's the kind of person, the mayor of Johannesburg.
Yeah, we've got a name for him as well. We call him the mayor.
You have a convicted criminal. You have a convicted criminal called Kenny Kunene, being a representative of our people. And nobody's asking, why? What?
He was once ANC.
Was never ANC. He was a friend of Julius Malema. They used to throw those sushi parties, you remember? He's a founder of EFF, Kenny Kunene. They founded the EFF together with Gayten.
All right, so
as exciting as this entire history lesson, and it's quite fascinating to listen to this revised version of it. What I would like you to do for us is casting your eye forward into, because looking backwards does nothing for us, but looking forward is, I would like to know what it is that you believe the ANC can offer that is different from what the last 5 years have been.
Yeah, well,
the last 5 years have seen a halving of the middle class. They have seen inflation go out of control. They have seen our rand-dollar exchange be the highest it has ever been. We have seen record unemployment. This is where we are in the past 5 years. And looking forward, what is going to be different?
Well, we literally did not have 5 years. And this we have to speak about. You know, a very close friend of mine who works for one of the banks in South Africa visits India and arrives in India. And this person is not, he said to me about 2 years ago, I'm not going to vote for your party, because she was saying the very same things. She arrives in India and calls me after, I think, 3 days of being there and says, I think I've changed my mind. I said, why? I was not aware that the COVID pandemic took so many people in India. It says 2 in every 5 Indians passed of COVID.
That's not true.
Well, that's what she says.
Okay.
But the point I want to say is that, the point I want to make is that in 2020, after electing a government in 2019, at the second half of 2019, we had the COVID pandemic. It had a detrimental effect on the economy, not just South Africa's economy. It took global economies on its knees.
Yes, because of the decisions of governments.
And all economies around the world, but also all economies around the world have bounced back.
No, but hang on. Not just the ANC government. Governments all over the world made terrible decisions around COVID, right?
Yeah.
And they must be held responsible for that, including our government, who decided to, like, cordon off the hardware section of shops and make people not wear Croc shoes and not be able to get cooked chickens. And I mean, it was such nonsense. Like that COVID command council or whatever they were called.
All of that, every other economy, including India, around the world has bounced back to pre-COVID.
And we haven't.
And we have not.
And that's where we are.
We have not.
Well, now, I don't know which stats your show uses.
Are we talking about unemployment?
But we use credible stats, which
businesses
are given.
What is the credible statistic that we now have doubled our middle class?
Your line of questioning was that the economy was not doing well. My response, and you said that in your line of questioning, in the past 5 years, I'm explaining a global phenomenon that would have contributed to where we are. I said COVID played a role.
And you brought up COVID, COVID was the reason that so much went wrong.
Okay, let him answer.
I think we will have a debate about COVID. It needs time. And I'll even bring you an expertise on it. I'm saying we had COVID. And shortly before COVID, we had a very unique situation where the China-US proxy war, which was taking place. Then from there, while we were reeling from recovering from COVID, we have a situation now in Ukraine, the situation which is happening between Russia and Ukraine. And while we were negotiating for a peaceful settlement to that, then we have now an escalating situation in the Middle East where men, children, and women, and innocent civilians are subjected to a genocide by Benjamin Netanyahu, who's killing people indiscriminately daily.
No, come on, Lesego.
Yeah.
These are all things that affect the world. But Pumi's right. Why have we not bounced back? Why has our government been especially bad at managing these things?
We live in a global economy.
But
Our economies are globalized. The people who are involved in this war, Gareth, let me help you. Our biggest trading partner, the United States of America, its economy is struggling. Our biggest trading partner. The origins of the COVID pandemic, it's our second biggest trading partner, which is China. The third biggest trading partner of our country is Russia. It's embroiled in the war. And if you look at the challenges on supply chain, and the challenges that this has brought on the global economy at a high scale, this has brought challenges. If you look, for instance, and I want to speak facts because I'm not John Steenhuisen. I went to school. I speak science and facts. I don't speak common sense. In 2008, our economy was able to be shelved from what happened in the 2008 world economic recession. We were held by the World Cup because there was massive infrastructural programs that we had embarked on and everything. That's what saved us. But now you have a succession of the people who are controlling oil, Iran. Iran is attacking Israel as we speak. There is a war in Ukraine. You look at and Russia is the biggest supplier, Gareth. It was the biggest supplier of gas to the European Union. There are challenges there. That has an effect on our economy. That has stunted employment growth. That has stunted our economy. But our economy remains resilient. I was speaking to one journalist.
In spite of this.
Common sense. Common sense journalist who was telling me that, hey, Africans are running away from their liberators. Earlier this morning, I said, there's no South African who dies in the sea trying to go to Europe. None. Do we have Ghanaians who cut hair? Who cross the sea to cut? There's no South African who goes to Ghana to cut hair.
So
there's
my no question South African. Stands.
Who goes to Egypt to sell mirrors. There is no South African who goes to Lesotho to become a nanny. There is no South African who goes to Zimbabwe to go and become a gardener.
My question has not been answered.
Okay.
It stands. Mm. My question is, looking forward, what will you be doing differently that will give us different results from what we have seen in the past 5 years? What is going to happen? So simply put, what is your economic plan that will see a doubling of the middle class? Because we have seen a halving of it. What is that economic plan?
That's just to get back to where we were.
You know, I have a fundamental problem with this question. Because I think you need to also invite somebody opposed to the ANC, very opposed to the ANC, the CEO of the Institute of Race Relations, Dr. Andres. He did justice to this country because he gave an analysis of South Africa's 30 years, very honestly. This is a person who's not ANC. I can tell you, Dr. Andres is a propagandist of the DA. But somehow maybe Jesus or Muhammad visited his heart and he started to speak the truth. He wrote the truth. He spoke about the two ages from where we come from since 1994. I don't want to speak apartheid and where we are. And he did it by...
And what did he say about the second age?
Of course, that's what Thabo Mbeki also said. That's what the ANC also said.
What did they say about the second age?
That
it was a disaster.
Age. Worst disaster. We put the most illiterate in the history of the... We've never had an illiterate president. We did that. We put them there. And when I answer your question, I always speak about myself. So I'm from Attridgeville. I say this to my kids. I was born in Attridgeville. 1992, I started school. So I walked from where I used to stay to walk to Batukwa Primary School, which is 5 kilometers to go to school. At 11 o'clock, it was break time. I ran from school. I ran back home to eat. When sometimes I would get home, there's nothing. There's not even porridge or anything like that. Then I would run after eating or finding nothing and run back to home to Batuku. Then I must come back. On average, a six-year-old me and many other kids, because we were groups, we would walk 20 kilometers to and from school, and also what you call not having any meal. I saw changes. So that's why when President Ramaphosa spoke of it, Ntswalo was speaking about me. Because in 1995, I never had to walk back to school. The RDP was in full swing. We were given a meal. There were buses that ferried us to school.
The first age, though, of Dr. Andres's. I'm asking especially about the second age now. So you said illiterate president, but yeah, there's also been all of those people who were part of the machinery of that illiterate president's time in administration are still in the ANC, and some of them are still in the cabinet, including our president at the moment, who was his deputy president.
The powerful winds of renewal are literally removing all the chaff from the ANC, which it had accumulated over time. In droves, this powerful wind is taking them out. The ANC conference in 2017, which defeated Jacob Zuma, said we need to renew this organization. You know, when I'm a computer scientist, so I studied computer science at the University of Illinois. So there are three things when a computer is corrupted, and I think your guy there will corroborate. You have what is called a last known good configuration. You have what is called a system restore, or you can format and reinstall. So the ANC had to decide. The delegates of the ANC said, okay, what do we do? Do we boot this computer to the last known good configuration? It did not work, the last known good configuration. Or do you reboot it back to system restore? It could not be restored. We had to format. That's why the delegates of the ANC in both NASREC 2017 and 2022, they said you have to renew yourself. And that's why the ANC, unlike any other party, even in the world, it comes out, it owns up to its own mistake. It says, this is what we did wrong. We did this fundamentally wrong. We should not have done this. And we are owning up to our mistake, because we are students of Amilcar Cabral. Cabral says, mask no difficulties from the masses, tell no lies and claim no easy victories. And that's why you are shocked we read Dr. Andres, because we are not allergic.
We're not allergic to
criticism.
I still don't have the answer to my question.
You keep interrupting me.
Because you're not answering and you're just talking. You're just riffing. Yeah. On all of the stuff. And yeah. Initially, you started by saying you have a fundamental problem with me asking you what is going to be different going forward. And that's okay. You no longer have to answer that question.
Yeah.
I want us to talk about the country and not the ANC. I want to understand what your plans for the country are that should say to somebody listening to the show today, vote for us because our plans are, one, on unemployment.
Well, thank you very much. And I think it's good, because to understand where you are going, you have to understand where you are, where you come from. And that's why the ANC commits itself to what is called the National Democratic Society, which is about building a non-sexist, non-racist, democratic South Africa, which everyone lives in equal opportunities. And Gareth and myself, I think to a large agree that it took a knock at some point. But what we have achieved is almost a miracle. And hence I was giving an example earlier, that you don't find a nanny in Lesotho saying it's South Africa. There's no South African who's fleeing from this country.
But you do find accountants in London who have fled from this country, black accountants, CAs, who have fled from this country because they cannot find jobs and they are now in London.
Well, I've worked in other countries because I've got the skills to do it and because they paid me more. But I've come back to it. South Africa is my home. I've met professors at the University of Illinois who would always tell me that we're just here to make money, we're going home. I've met Africans from many parts of the world who'd say, I'm not going back to Rwanda, who said, I'm not going back to Malawi. I'm not going back. This is my home. I'm going to be naturalized here. My children will be born here. I came back to this country and came and worked for Eskom and other companies.
So but equally, saying, there are South. You will find South Africans. Yeah. All Sorry? Over. You will find South Africans Even in white. Other countries. Yeah. All kinds.
Yeah, no.
Who've decided this is it now because they can't find things to do here.
I've been everywhere in the world.
But
I've not met a South African.
To argue about this is pointless, but even if they're going over there to make money, it's because they can't do it here. We should be providing an economy. We should be making it possible for people to fulfill their dreams and ambitions in this country and contribute while they're doing it.
In a globalized economy, an American can be in South Africa to come and work. That's a globalized economy of shared skills, of shared economic values, of opportunities and everything. In that economy, you can find somebody from Britain here working.
But Lesego, the global economy doesn't respect
us. And we have the highest unemployment in the world. We have the highest youth unemployment. We have almost 40% unemployment rate in South Africa.
Yeah.
And you have an aversion to answering my questions.
And that's why
about economic plans.
That's why I said to you, go and look at economic growth in the most advanced economies in the world, the United States and Britain and many of the European countries. They are facing the similar challenges as we do.
I'm asking about the answers that you are giving to South Africans that are unemployed today.
Yes.
What is it that you are proposing is going to be the answer to change their life? That's all I'm asking.
One of the biggest initiatives, which I think, and it would have been lovely that Premier Lesufi is here. He's done something outstanding. Within a year of being in office, we've created over 150,000 jobs in what is called Nasi Spani. These are not EPWP jobs. These are jobs for professionals. And this we did this to respond to some of the challenges. The first set of jobs were what we call the crime wardens, because we realized that the police were overwhelmed. They could not be able to keep our people safe. And we believed in recruiting young people who were transplanted from already existing community policing forums and those who were participating in ensuring that our spaces are free. Then we brought them in. The cities had collapsed. I mean, you never speak about Tshwane, something which disturbs me as a person.
Why do you say that?
I listen to your show, by the way.
We speak about, so we've even had the mayor of Tshwane on the show.
A joke of a person. That city used to be well-run. One of the best-run cities in the world, the first city in the world to introduce free public Wi-Fi, where every school in Tshwane had Wi-Fi, where every mall, where all public parks and everything else, they had those things. It was run by Dr. Ramokopa. You brought a joke of a person called Solim Simanga, the architect of the collapse of it. Within a year, he was removed because they saw he's a joke. He's now a premier candidate or something like that. Within a year, he was out. Tshwane received the worst audit outcome in the history of democratic South Africa. It received a disclaimer. The Auditor General said to Tshwane, you have falsified your books. You have misrepresented your books. You said you can't account for 20 billion. The international rating agencies came down and actually has rated that seat into junk. People in Hammarskraal died of cholera. No one in this country dies of cholera except where the DA and Action SA are governing. They died of cholera. If you look at in Mamelodi, where my parents are from, in Ikahing, 4 years no water. That city is now filthy. If you remember John Roby, an ardent critic of the ANC, arrived one day through a helicopter on Mandela Day and tweeted. All of us were shocked. He said, I've never seen such clean townships. Go now to Attridgeville, where I'm from. Go to Mabopane. Go to Mamelodi and everywhere else. It has gone down. And some of these things are contributing factors of the regress that is continually being registered. And hence, I answered your question earlier today. Our people are saying to us, we don't want to see what is happening in Tshwane happening in the whole of Gauteng. We don't want to see this fruit salad of political parties, of pickpocketers, of swindlers, of people without metric. That's because that's what Tswane was. There was a guy called Stephen de Villiers who was earning millions. He knows him. I think so they are friends with Gareth.
A bodybuilder
certificate. He was hired as a senior director with a bodybuilder certificate.
We're back to looking backwards. Yeah.
No, we're and looking
what's,
now.
What's, and I am asking you to talk to us about economic policy, but you choose not to. Let's talk about safety. Going forward, we have a crime problem in this country, which has also grown to becoming syndicated nodes of criminality, whether it is in the construction business, whether it is in the transportation business. What is the plan going forward regarding crime and safety that is different from what has been happening over the past
in the context of
15 years?
In the context of Gauteng, as announced by Premier Lesufi, what we have simply done is that we believe that we need to invest in technology, which we have started. The introduction of drones, the conversion of what used to be e-toll gantries to ensure that we do facial recognitions of people who are passing there. The introduction of the crime wardens, which will make sure that we have crime wardens in every ward in this particular province. The introduction of actually giving police more vehicles, ensuring that we have more helicopters. But also the involvement of communities, because crime happens when communities don't take a stand. And that is the biggest problem everywhere else. I mean, I watch a show every Sunday. I love it. Called Sizokthola, Channel 157. The reason why this country is going where it is going is because members of the public are not playing an active role in ensuring that we secure this country. It is communities that actually protect criminals. It is communities that work with criminals. It is some of the vile and corrupt policemen who work for the SAPS who work with this particular criminal. And that's why they are emboldened. A person is able to kill a person in Jugule, in Soshanguve, in the full glare of the community. And no one is going to say, I saw this person who did this. They're not going to do it. In the safest spaces in our province, if you check, where I come from, where I live is Lotus Gardens. We used to have big hijackings. The community came together, not any party. The community came together and say, we have to police this ourselves. There are people who volunteer. To 3 years now on, there's not been a single hijacking. There's not been a single house breaking. Yeah, Gareth?
No, Lesego, you know, I think Pumi's questions about the economy and then the questions about safety, And you've even hinted at this yourself in your answer, is that people are now taking on these responsibilities themselves in your community, for example. I applaud that.
Yeah.
But it is because government has left a vacuum in those places. It is because government, I mean, the police people
His
just don't trust.
His words were corrupt police.
Yeah, corrupt police. Yeah. We don't trust the police. We don't trust Eskom. So now if we can afford to, we must put in solar. If we can't afford to, we must just hope that there's electricity at some point so we can cook meals for our children. You've got to hope there's water.
You don't have to worry
You've
about
got to hope.
Eskom
okay,
anymore.
Fine. But so far, that we were promised that for a long time and we were lied to. So you can understand why we're hurt. It's like the woman whose husband keeps coming home and hitting her. And he says to her, I won't hit you anymore. I promise. I'm sorry. That's over. I love you. Yeah. He comes back the next day and hits her again. This is how we feel. We're traumatized as people. So we've done what we've had to do to survive. Yeah. We've got a huge number of municipalities in this country. And you mentioned Tswane, it may not be the best run. Sure.
West.
I live there. You live there. So the reality is that 92% of the municipalities in the country are insolvent.
Yeah.
That was according to the Statistician General.
Yeah.
Insolvent.
Yeah.
Now, most of those are run by the ANC. We can't just pretend that's not happening. Those people have already got used to living without government.
Yeah.
They know what it's like to live without government.
And that's why some of these questions that you ask, they require a granular, detailed discussion. Because if you speak about a municipality somewhere in the Northwest or in Limpopo, where there is no revenue collection at all, and you expect that a municipality not to be insolvent, it's not possible. A municipality like Tswane, it collects. It collects revenue. There are a lot of industrial parks in Tshwane. There are a lot of households where you live, the affluent suburbs in Tshwane. The townships in Tshwane, they receive services.
But you know where revenue collection happens nationally. SARS is responsible for that. And remember, municipalities get a small amount of the total. National government gets the majority of the revenue.
I'm happy with what you just
said. I'm right.
Yes, because our structure of government, Gareth, is that the local sphere of government must self-generate its own revenue. And national government and provincial government gives the local municipalities grants for them to perform certain tasks. So if a municipality can't self-generate its own revenue, that municipality won't work. I mean, you can just get grants from national or provincial government, which amount to 2% of what is in your bank account. And the rest must come from the people. So if you are...
And we're talking about, 18 million people who are living on social grants? That's part of the reason why the municipalities and their revenue collection is so low, is because you have such high unemployment, or people are living on a grant system, or you have indigent households that cannot. And this is why the first question was around economic policy. But the thing in this conversation, which I am not hearing, and I hope we can get there, is the plans by national government. And that's why I also started by saying, what are you authorized to talk to us about? You're authorized to talk about everything. Fantastic. But you keep wanting to talk about history and not about what we should be voting for. You're telling us about things that have collapsed. You're telling us about things that are not working. You're telling us about a corrupt, in terms of policing, a corrupt system, corrupt individuals within the system, but you are not telling us how that is going to be fixed. That's what I'm asking about. Okay. I'm asking about going forward, because what you are asking of us is you are asking for a mandate for another 5 years. It says, in these 5 years, if you give me this mandate, this is what I can deliver. This is what I will do. This is how I will do it differently. I've not heard you say any of those things.
Yeah, of course. No, thanks. You can't speak about where you are going without talking about where you come from,
where you are already.
And everything. I've explained on the issue of, for instance, if you are to speak about the economy, you can't fix the economy without fixing ESCOM, because it's at the heart of the economy. And that's why we send the best brains to go and fix ESCOM. And I've explained earlier, I thought maybe we could have taken what I said about ESCOM, that it was broken. And we had to go back and fix it, fix some of the units which had not maintained for a long time, refurbish them, return them to service, and recommissioned some of the plants that were out, which were not contributing to the grid. ESCOM has been stabilized. ESCOM now is working optimally. It is not where we desire it to be. The official policy of the ANC is what we call energy mix. You still have to have your solar. It will even help you from your municipal bill. But we also believe in ensuring that we introduce green energy into the mix, bringing hydro energy, using the energy of the wind, and all sorts of green energy, and ensuring that we go back even to our dams and we make use of them to produce energy to ensure that we are able to stabilize our energy. Because the grid was, the energy base load was so compromised, and that's why we had the problem. So we fixed ESCOM. The second biggest problem that South Africans have in this country is that they're not feeling safe. And we discussed it about the issue of crime. I explained that in the context of Gauteng, because this is one of the most highly industrialized provinces, where every year, according to statistics, South Africa, there's 350,000 people who migrate to Gauteng, including those from Cape Town. They come here. We have to deal with crime. We said, let's bring in drones. Let's bring in technology. Let's bring in facial recognition technology. But let's add eyes and boots on the ground and ensure that we are able to then fight this particular crime here. But we can't do it without the community. Apartheid could only be ended, not only by the ANC, but by involvement of civil society and communities, which played an active role in ensuring that we're able to fight. So we need communities to be part of it. And once you are able to fight crime, to end it, and to ensure that you end gender-based violence, then you are creating an environment which was there when President Mbeki was president, when President Kgalema Motlanthe was president, Mandela was president. An environment which is conducive for investor confidence. You are able to bring money. Then you are able to then create jobs. But that can be done outside the international balance of forces. What is happening outside our country, which some people believe they don't have a bearing. Go and ask somebody who's working at Toyota, when they order a part, how long it takes to arrive because of the disruption of the global supply chain. Go and ask somebody who is a farmer when they order some of the equipment that they use for farming, how long it takes and how much it costs, which is also driving the price of everything.
Okay.
So you can't do it without that.
One last question, please.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because we have time. But our listeners may
as long
not.
As we're not doing idols, I don't have to sing.
Our listeners
not a problem.
May not.
Don't have to sing. No.
Yeah.
All one right. of the biggest burdens on our state and its capacity to deliver, and Thabo Mbeki also spoke about this on Tuesday, has been an endemic corruption. Even you talked about COVID. During COVID, people were dying and the comrades were stealing money. What is the plan about dealing with corrupt officials, with corrupt politicians, with corrupt tenderpreneurs? What is the plan going forward? Because we've seen nothing. Again, in the past 5 years, Gareth's yeah. favorite, Shamila Patoi. Gareth and,
yeah. and we don't see any orange overalls.
Gareth, you know? And Canton's not here. Gareth and Canton's favorite. They had lots of hope for Shamila when she was appointed. And here we sit. We're still not seeing orange overalls.
Well, because we're a constitutional democracy. We're not a banana republic. Mm. Where if I look at you and I think you smell like a thief, I decide that you go to jail. The former president of the country is in court every other week. The former president of this country is in court every other week. The speaker of parliament has been arrested. He's in court. This is the highest ranking official after the president. He's in court. There are officials, we've arrested some of the high flyers. Those who were involved in the embezzlement of COVID funds, you know, they were taken out, were acting. Hence, I said here earlier on that the harsh winds of renewal are removing all the chaff that the ANC will have accumulated over the years. That's why you are having President Mbeki coming out and saying, I will go and converse for the African nation openly. And I'm urging South Africans to go and vote for the ANC, because when he was not happy with the raid, the leadership sat down with him and said, President, you built institutions, and these institutions were taking those who are who have been alleged to have done this or that, were taking them through these institutions, were taking them through the criminal justice system. And it takes time. Unfortunately, the wheels of justice, they take time. And when they grind, they will grind until they are able to deal with those who've been implicated. Because we're not a banana republic. Unless you want us to behave like these other countries where a person today goes to court, tomorrow they are beheaded. They are killed. Or what happened in apartheid where Solomon Mahlangu is arrested next month?
Why
is
do
killed.
Some
it
people
won't
get
happen
to
like that?
Why do some people get to step aside and some do not?
Who has not stepped aside?
Oh, there's a Zondo report that's 400 pages filled with names, and people are still in parliament. People are still in parliament. People are still in their positions. Whistleblowers are still to this day being victimized. And we do not see, and you are saying that we must just wait. We must wait indefinitely for the winds of change.
The step aside policy, the policy of the African National Congress.
who are also the people that deploy comrades into all sorts of positions.
The ANC in 2017 said we need to work differently on this. There are two things we need to do. Firstly, there must be lifestyle audits of comrades who are in the executive. Yes. In Gauteng, we've done it. And we've released those audits. And secondly, those who have, in the past, remember during the Zuma years, there used to be a slogan that says, innocent until proven guilty. Then there will be people who go to courts and sing. No, we don't do it. When you are charged, the step aside policy says you must be charged.
For the benefit of our listeners who may have missed some of those orders that were taken out, do you want to share maybe two or three people that we should be aware of that of those orders and what the results of those audits were?
Oh, no, nothing was found on any of the MECs in Gauteng. In fact, the difference between us and other people is that the people who do the audits is state security agencies. That we don't hire a law firm like what is done in the Western Cape. We don't hire a law firm and says no, MECs must go to this law firm and be vetted. No. State security agent. That's why this guy who's the CEO of SABC, he shocked all of us. Because everyone before him was vetted. When he's vetted, he says, no, there seems to be an agenda. No, you can't. You need top security clearance. Sorry? No, I don't. But you know the CEO, you can just go. You are fond of Google. I saw you doing some desktop research. So I was thinking.
No, actually, that's not desktop research. So, it's my own research.
So I'm saying that we have done extremely well in terms of the number of graduates that we have produced, in terms of the institutions that we have built, in terms of the people who have never been in the mainstream of the economy of this country, in terms of the women who are in leadership. The ANC is the only party in the world where 50 plus women are represented in parliament, in legislatures, in councils. And this is not just a requirement. This is law in the ANC. Those who are found, for instance, I attended a case. I'm also a chief whip in my other job that I get paid for. A police officer charged with looking after the deputy speaker of the Gauteng provincial legislature goes and opens a case. In your case of step aside. And after opening a case, while I go and attend, because this person is my friend, I attend as a friend, this police officer says, no, this, I'm here because I was assaulted by the deputy speaker. She assaulted me. Then the lawyers ask, but you said to her lawyers that you want this to be settled out of court. She says, yes. And you said you wanted 1 million. She said, yes, because a police officer wants to extort money from a politician because she knew, that person knows that the deputy speaker is from a party that believes in step aside. So those, everybody who has been charged by the courts, who has went to court and said, we are charging you, comrade, there are allegations, you step aside, it's not even discussed. You step aside.
I want to say that there are advantages and there are disadvantages to being the incumbent.
Yeah.
And the ANC is the incumbent party and Cyril Ramaphosa is the incumbent president.
Yes.
And we have a system in this country where the president is elected by a majority vote and a party elects him president. Are you as the ANC satisfied with Cyril Ramaphosa's performance as president? Are you convinced that he is the right guy to take us forward for another 5 years? Or are we going to have another situation where, you know, the president needs to be recalled at some point in the near future?
Well, more than convinced.
Because it's happened a lot.
Yeah. It has happened twice.
It's a lot.
And when it happened for the first time, it shook a lot of people. Even myself, I was young. I was 22 years. I just came back from the U.S. and I was shocked.
It was a disaster.
That decision. The ANC owns up to that decision. That was disastrous to recall President Mbeki months away from elections. But the best decision was to recall Zuma. We don't regret it. And that's why when President Ramaphosa took over, He took over a mess that President Mbeki and Dr. Andra spoke about, where the deliberately institutions of the state were compromised. You had a guy called Benning Dlamini. It was the ANC under
we named the show after him.
The current Secretary General of the ANC, Fikile Mbalula, fought with him, took him to court.
Yeah.
Took him to court until he was removed.
But get back to the president.
I'm getting back to the president. So when the president came in, the first thing he had to do, he had to restore those institutions that were broken, including SARS. You know how badly broken SARS. So there was a guy Tom Moyani. I don't know why he's not in prison, Tom Moyani. He had to fix it. He had to fix SARS. He had to fix National Treasury. He had to fix ESCOM. Those clowns who were there at ESCOM, you remember them. At SABC, the public broadcaster, there was a guy called Saudi. Yes, a joke of a person. So President Ramaphosa spent all these years, as he came in as president, to restore a proper functioning government, firstly, to restore order in the institutions of the state and ensure that these state institutions are able to serve the purpose that they have. He even inherited a delinquent public protector, Mkweban, a member of the EFF. I've not heard you speak about it, but
there we have.
You had Mkweban as a public protector of this country. People don't speak about that. How badly compromised state institutions were. And we had to restore this. Departments were dysfunctional.
You feel he's done a good job as president and the executive with him.
Extremely great job.
Okay.
And he looked beyond race and color. He looked on ability. But oh, he is not black, because we don't believe. But he's capable. The commissioner of SARS is a white man. He's capable. So I can go on and speak about the restoration of state institutions as the ANC intended. On the economic front, President Ramaphosa faced what Joe Biden is facing in America, faced what the Xi Jinping is facing in China and all other presidents across the world. He had to face COVID. He's facing the war in Ukraine. He's facing the destability of the Middle East. And yet our economy is still resilient.
Okay,
But
going forward now, Lesego, and yeah. I don't want to interrupt you, but we're out of time. This is the president that you believe can take us the next 5 years.
With the collective, yeah.
Right, with the rest. Obviously, the ANC always believes in collective leadership. And this is the cabinet. These are the people. This is your top NEC that's going to take us through the next 5 years. And we'll make this country a better place.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. You know,
That's what you're telling us. This is the package.
Let me give you a simple example, and it's something that I want you to do in your show. I want you to study national executives of all these parties, including the ANC. I want you to start profile each individual there. I also want you to study the list which were submitted. There's a reason why they are published, and you profile them. I can tell you now, Gareth. If you come to the Gauteng Provincial Legislature, there are only four parties. There's not many. It's not salads. It's the ANC, it's the EFF, it's the DA, and then it's the IFP with one person. The EFF's highest qualified person has a grade 11. It's a lawmaker. Tomorrow, the Rules Committee of the ANC, of the legislature, is going to release what's going to shock you. Where a member of the EFF, his provincial secretary, has been earning money from the legislature for 7 years without going to work, has never attended a single committee, has not gone to any community. So the highest person educated in the EFF, in the legislature, grade 11. In the ANC, we've got four NQF 10s, meaning we've got doctors. The premier of Gauteng has a master's degree. You can check in the DA. I don't want to, because they believe when you are white, you are qualified. That's why you had a bodybuilder earning 3 million in Swanee with a bodybuilder certificate. Go and profile. I want you to do it.
We have the most
qualified.
The reason we ask you here.
The tried and tested, and we
This is what we do.
The
on
reason
show.
We ask we look you at here these people. Is yeah. is to give you the opportunity yeah. to do exactly that. And I must give it to you. You're very committed to your facts. And you're very committed to your perspective of all of these things. And even though the opportunity was for you to do just that, to give us the profiles and give us the confidence and share and take our listeners into your confidence and give us access to some of the things that we may not have had access to. What you chose to do with your time is to lambast what other people have done. And to a large extent, I walk away from this conversation knowing less well, about your position.
I will give you credit. You did make us laugh about bringing up Bernie and Glamazon. And so did Thabo Mbeki in his speech.
I can't believe Bernie Nkemeza has come up so much this week.
I'll also say this to you. I am very pleased that this is the week I got to see former President Thabo Mbeki speaking, because he reminded me of all the good things that the ANC is capable of. I just don't know whether it's that ANC anymore. You say it is. People can make their own minds up.
And President Mbeki says it is.
Well, we'll see. I think they've had to beg and plead with him to come out because the cupboard is so empty. The cupboard is so empty.
President Mbeki, I was involved in those talks. President Mbeki said, I looked at your manifesto. President Mbeki attends. He had stopped attending National Executive Committee meetings. He attends them. He participated in the formulation of the manifesto and has worked very well with the National Executive Committee led by President Ramaphosa. And he believes we are in the right path.
I heard President Ramaphosa saying yesterday that he supports Thabo Mbeki's call for us to have a national dialogue
yes.
after these elections, which yes. I think would be very good. And yes. I'm sure that that's a bit of a quid pro quo yeah. as well. Yeah. But yes, my point is, it was good to hear former President Thabo Mbeki speak. He's a man who speaks clearly. He thinks very hard about things. He cares very deeply about things.
Yeah.
I just get the feeling like there are a lot of people in the ANC who've done exactly the opposite over
and
the years.
They're out.
Maybe some.
I spoke earlier on.
Maybe some.
About the harsh winds. We in the ANC, we always say the ANC is like a sea.
Okay.
It always cleanses itself. It has done so for.
Have you seen how dirty the sea is in Umhlanga?
It has done so over a period of 113 years. If you go through the history of the ANC, it has faced worse than what it's facing now. It has faced treason from within, and it has survived all these things. And I can promise South Africans, your listeners, that we have turned the corner.
All right,
we have restored the institutions of state, and now we're focusing on the on growing the economy,
I'm going to say yeah. what I say to all the politics, all the politicians, all the leaders that we've had in the studio. Because I'm going to wish you luck. Yeah. I wish you luck for this election, because even the very worst people that might or might not be in the ANC anymore, even the very most selfish people who couldn't care less about this, at some level must believe in the future of this country, even if you're just profiting from it. And I don't believe that that's the case for everybody. I think that there are probably a lot of good people who wish for the best. We've got departments of state that work.
Yeah.
We've got institutions that are trying, come hell or high water, to make things happen.
Sure.
And I do believe that there are many people in the ANC who wish for the best for this country. So I wish, in turn, good luck to you for the elections. And I hope that President Ramaphosa is able to make South Africans enthusiastic about the future, because there are so many young people who aren't even registered to vote. They don't care anymore. They've given up. And I hope we can turn the tide on them as well, since you brought up the sea as a metaphor. Thank you.
No, thank you very much. Thanks for the interview.
27 days to go.
People of Gauteng must go out and vote for the ANC, defend our democracy, and ensure that we continue to build on what we already have, ensure that we are able to create jobs, we keep our people safe, and we keep the lights on, and also move on to local government election and remove fruit salads from our municipalities so that they can function. And I hope that your show, unlike many other shows, I have that faith that this is the show that can expose what the epicenter of corruption that Tswane is, and that we hold them to account.
I'll promise you something. We will always be open to hear these things, but the ANC's got to meet us halfway. It's taken longer and it's been harder to get someone from the ANC to speak to us than any of these other Mickey Mouse guys. And I don't, and not all of them are Mickey Mouse.
I received a call from James. I just received a call from James 4 years ago. And I was arranging this interview. I had a call leave actually.
Four days.
No, 4 days ago. Okay. And I said, the premier is coming. Unfortunately, he's stuck in East London. And we had to come. I had a call from.
You're here. Yeah, to your credit, you're
I
here.
Had a call from Farrell, you know.
And Farrell says,
we want the ANC to a debate of Daily Maverick. I said, without even consulting, I said, we're not coming. She said, no, but why are you not? I said, no. You write stories. I'm the spokesperson of the ANC. You've never even called us for a right of reply. You've never. And therefore, we're not going to grace or dignify your platform with our presence. I am here because I've listened to a lot of your views. There's a lot of objectivity, and you are fair to everybody. And that's why we're here.
And the invitation's open, any of the leaders.
Because we believe that the role of the media is part of what President Begi spoke about in terms of the national dialogue.
Yeah.
That is the watchdog of democracy. But you have NESPA's own media, which NESPAS, by the way, has openly given money to Rise Mzanzi, has openly given money to DA, has openly given money to political parties, I mean, the alliance of the DA. They've given them money, and yet they say they want to play a role of a watchdog, and that's why they are cooking the polls saying the ANC is under 40, and that's what has been found to be false. So we don't want that. We are here because we are here to relax. We are able to talk the truth. You hit us hard. And we're able to not defend ourselves. The ANC never defends its record in government always does. But we're always to owning up where we went wrong. Right, and I think President Begi has done that for us. And President Ramaphosa has done that as well in his address to the nation.
You're always welcome. Thanks for coming.
Gareth, thank you. It was nice meeting you.
Pumi, I don't know if Pumi's happy to meet you.
I know she's a drug lord.
This dragging of my name.
Spitting fire.
This dragging of my name through the mud. So your internal polling, just as a closing, your internal polling, just to remind people who may still be listening, your internal polling is giving you over 55%.
Our internal polling is that it says to us that we're going to win this province by an overwhelming majority. We're going to win the South Africa by an overwhelming majority. What our internal polling is telling to us is saying that people in the Western Cape have started to realize that when the DA says he's running the Western Cape very well, he speaks about white affluent suburbs. He's not speaking about Nyanga, Langa, Khayelitsha, and colored areas. And therefore, the DA is losing the Western Cape. They will not be running the Western Cape. That's what our internal polling is telling us.
Certainly not. The ANC.
Interesting.
It's not the ANC who will either. Let's see what happens. Thank you.
Gareth, thank you very much. Let's vote out the DA in Tshwane. We are from there, Gareth. Thank you very much.
I want it to work. I'm with you if you make it work.
It used to work. You know that, under the ANC.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Thank you very much.